No power, a ton of snow, state of emergency.
It's not easy to live in this kind of weather.
What we'll hear from the Secretary of State today.
One more pitch for Mideast peace.
And punishing Russia.
Cyber counterattacks are likely to be among a basket of sanctions.
Good morning. I'm Jim Taylor with the CBS World News Roundup. Stormy weather. CBS's Tony DeCoppola on the winter watch.
In Casper, Wyoming, gusts topping more than 80 miles per hour swept blinding snow across highways and parking lots. If not the wind, snow. In neighboring South and North Dakota, people are shoveling and scraping following a Christmas Day blizzard. Even four-wheel drive vehicles are no match against the massive snowdrifts.
Well, I was getting ready to go to work, got about 15 feet, and that was it. It's very crazy out here.
A state of emergency was declared in South Dakota after tens of thousands lost power.
Snow is forecast to spread from the Appalachians to New England. Winter storm warnings posted from Massachusetts to Maine. Low pressure near the New England coast expected to intensify quickly. It's an effect known as bombogenesis. Pity the poor Vikings at the $1.1 billion stadium where they play in Minnesota. Several huge zinc panels blown loose by high winds, falling to the ground. No one hurt. Dan Folk lives nearby. He's unimpressed with the brand new building.
Shoddy workmanship. I mean, I think they should have put more money into the exterior and making it a structurally sound stadium than putting in a lot of bells and whistles for corporate bigwigs.
Last week, the Vikings' plane slid off the Green Bay runway, stranding the team for hours. Ratcheting up the rhetoric, Secretary of State John Kerry today delivering a major speech addressing Israel's controversial West Bank settlements. Here's CBS's Dan Revive.
Kerry may choose to be specific as to what he's recommending. How much territory captured in 1967 should Israel give to the Palestinians? What should they have to promise? Kerry spoke 3 weeks ago about two frustrating years he spent mediating.
And now you have to rebuild trust. Everybody mistrusts each other.
Before the Obama administration ends, 3 weeks and 2 days from now, Kerry may go to a conference in Paris on Israeli-Palestinian peace. Yet the big question is, what might Donald Trump try to accomplish? Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
A ceasefire agreement between Turkey and Russia to go into effect at midnight tonight. According to Turkey's state-run news agency, terror organizations kept out of the agreement. CBS News correspondent Holly Williams in Istanbul with more.
Even if this ceasefire has an impact on the ground in Syria, this is now a multi-sided conflict that involves several different parties on the ground, as well as several different outside countries, including Saudi Arabia, Qatar, the United States, and Iran.
Punishing Russia. Just what kind of sanctions are being considered by the Obama administration right now? We are live with CBS News correspondent Vicky Barker.
Making the punishment fit the crime is harder than it looks. That's because last year's executive order authorizing retaliation against foreign cyber attacks did not cover the meddling in a U.S. election of which Russia stands accused. Still, the Washington Post reports some kind of covert online counterstrike is likely to be among the measures to be announced as early as this week. But since Donald Trump has dismissed the reports of Russian interference, they're unlikely to outlive the Obama presidency. Jim?
Somebody saw something, so said something. Trump Tower evacuated. New York Police Bomb Squad technicians quickly determining the unattended bag contained children's toys and was harmless. The president-elect in Florida at the time. Fans are mourning the passing of a quirky icon, Carrie Fisher. CBS's Steve Futterman.
Thanks to the medium of film, her performances, including her Star Wars portrayals of Princess Leia, will live forever.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
In fact, Carrie Fisher will appear in one more Star Wars film, Episode 8. Filming has already been completed. It's due to be released next December. Steve Futterman, CBS News. Los Angeles.
In New York, police say a 23-year-old killed the former teacher that he had an affair with when he was a high school student. Then he killed the child that he fathered with her. Felicia Barahona found dead in her apartment. WCBS-TV's Jessica Langton.
Cops say during his confession, he admitted he didn't like the way Felicia was raising the child. That included dressing him in feminine-looking clothing. Also, that he had a new girlfriend, and Felicia was interfering with that relationship. And he was tired of paying child support for the kid.
Dylan Roof. Convicted in the cold-blooded killings of 9 black parishioners at a Bible meeting in South Carolina, awaiting the next development in the judicial process. Judge ordered hearing. CBS News correspondent Jim Crisula.
Prosecutors and defense lawyers for Dylann Roof will meet with a federal judge in Charleston, South Carolina, to work out details of the sentencing phase of Roof's trial. He faces a possible death penalty when a jury of 9 women and 3 men resumes work in a week.
Another disruptive flash mob of teenagers, this time a Philadelphia mall. Following Monday night's disturbances in malls across the country, police were prepared. Philadelphia Police Chief Inspector Scott Small says the teenagers mobilized online.
These juveniles were able to get on social media, specifically Snapchat. They were able to all meet up at the Philadelphia Mills Mall. But police were ready for them. They were proactive.
4 arrests made there. In Green Bay, Wisconsin, a mall evacuated. Police say a man had mental issues. An armed neo-Nazi parade. The specter being raised in the small town of Whitefish, Montana, a white nationalist group that's published names, addresses, and phone numbers of Jewish residents there, planning a march. Lawmaker denunciation.
Any demonstration or threat of intimidation against any Montanan's religious liberty will not be tolerated.
That's U.S. Senator Steve Daines. Whitefish chief of police says as long as they're peaceful, any group has the right to assemble. Could come as soon as the second week in January. 2016, will it please end?
There were a lot of things in 2016 that people would like to say good riddance to. It seems like there's a general consensus that 2016 was not necessarily the best year.
That's Tim Tompkins. He's the president of the Times Square Alliance in New York City, where it is Good Riddance Day. Everyone is welcome to step up to the shredder and let it go.
People always come with pictures of ex-boyfriends or girlfriends that they want to put into the giant shredder, or maybe their final mortgage payments or bank bills. Sometimes it's more serious, and they're shredding medical bills.
Saluting sports immortals no longer with us.
I must be the greatest!
Muhammad Ali, famous for his punches, poetry, and politics, left us this year, as did Mr. Hockey, Gordie Howe.
And Howe is trumping the record.
Farewell to the Lady Vols, Pat Summitt.
Women's basketball, Pat Summitt. Those two things will never be separated.
Golfer Arnold Palmer is being remembered for his unorthodox swing and photogenic charisma. Joe Garagiola joked about his mediocre baseball career, but his next gig as a broadcaster turned out really well. Goodbye to him and sportscaster Craig Sager.
Known for pointed questions and loud suits.
Steve Kathan, CBS News.
She is the highest grossing actor of 2016.
When we arrive, I need you to watch the perimeter. I'm going to enter the facility and take down the target.
Yep, Scarlett Johansson, her movie's making $1.2 billion. That's the World News Roundup for Wednesday, December 28th, 2016. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.